I want to welcome you to our worship service this morning. Glad that you are here, chose to spend your Sunday morning with us. I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. Do you feel the love of Christ in this place? If you are visiting with us this morning, we especially want to welcome you. And there is a blue card right in the seat in front of you, should be there. Would love to have you register with us, let us know you're here. You know, as our church gets bigger, and I've said this before, but it's hard for me to, I mean, I like to see us grow, and I believe with all my heart healthy things grow, when Christ is present, we're going to grow. But part of the grieving of that for me is I want to know everybody. I want to know who you are. I want you to know me. I want to know you. And it gets harder and harder to do. This blue card helps us to do that. There's a box on there you can check if you want to be on our email list. That's how we do a lot of communicating to get the word out of things going on in our church and so forth. So glad that you are here. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and we're going to pick up verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. You are here. We've invited you. We ask you now to speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I missed last Sunday. I thank Brother Billy for filling in for me. Here he packed the house. And John, I'm outing you, man. John said, told me that he told Billy this morning, "You know, Billy, just about the time you get things going, Hatcher shows back up." So, yeah, John, you said it. Yeah, just don't ever tell me that kind of stuff. But anyway, it was nice, I guess, to be out. 2 weeks of intense studies through Perkins. I'm trying to finish up my master's courses, and I'm getting close. The first week I spent in Waco, what they call a Waco immersion, poor and homeless immersion. I had not become homeless for a week, but they tried to get us to see what the poor and the homeless go through, and how we as the church can be a part of the solution. One of the things that's really cool about that ministry, there's a Mission Waco is a ministry there that we kind of went through. One of the things that's really cool about that ministry is they do some relief where they, you know, food and clothing and that sort of thing. They do those sort of things, but their focus, their intention is empowerment, how to help people. How to lift them out of poverty. And that's something that I was very interested in because, you know, the old give a man a fish and he'll be hungry, teach a man to fish and he'll never go hungry. And that kind of mentality of empowerment. And so we spent a week just learning about their different ministries there. I want to kind of show you this was the highlight of the week for me. In 1992, a church was started called Church Under the Bridge. It started out there on last Sunday morning. Now, it was 23-degree wind chill. I think I still have all my fingers. They were, some of them were, I thought, close to freezing off. But that's Church Under the Bridge. Now, go ahead and go to that next shot, Alan. You can literally see that down below is the stage. That's the pastor and the assistant pastor there. And you can see 18-wheelers passing overhead. And so, I mean, it's literally Church Under the Bridge. That's I-35 there in Waco. Go ahead and go to the next one there, Alan. This is Jimmy Durrell. He's the founding pastor there. He's also, this guy's, man, the Lord's just really blessed him in ministry to the poor and marginalized. The story of Church on the Bridge in 1992, he moved earlier than that, but that's when Church on the Bridge started. But he and his wife and children bought this, it's a massive old house in this very, very poor neighborhood. It was 4,000 square foot house, and they paid $12,000 for it. And he bought this house, and if I'm going to minister to the poor, and that was his heart, I need to be among the poor. And so he moved right down in the heart of that. And in 1992, several years later, he has these five homeless guys that are living under this bridge. And so he goes down there, he and his wife go down there one Sunday morning and have a Bible study with these five men. And the next Sunday they said, "Hey, you want to do this again?" They said, "Sure." And they came back and there was 15. And then they said, "Hey, you guys want to do this again?" The next week they came back and there was 50. And the next week they came back and there was 70. And the next, and it just grew. And now they have been meeting, 23 years. They have formed an official church called Church Under the Bridge. That's the name of their church. And they've been meeting under this bridge for 23 years. Now, they have a trailer that they pull in, and it's got it's for their sound, their sound equipment, and it's got their praise team up there, and they preach from this back of this trailer. They pass out food before church. They have Sunday school. They have these big kind of travel trailers that they pull in, and the children go to, they have their trailer for their Sunday school, and then they have an adult trailer for Sunday school. They have an AA meeting that meets over, circles up in one of the corners, and there's just people everywhere, and it's an incredible thing. Go ahead and go to that next shot. Let's see what we got here. And I met some interesting people. Check this man out. Now, you can see in the background there, that's the food line. They go through this line, and they give them a plastic bag, and they can go through, and they tell them, so you can get so many loaves of bread and so on, and they just fill up their bags there. And that gentleman there, you can't see it very well. Go to the next shot there, Alan. That's what was in his baby stroller. See that little coat? And I'm telling you, it was cold. That little dog's nose was just a shaking, man. He was cold. Go ahead and keep going, Alan. Now, this gentleman, he couldn't talk. I didn't get his name, but this guy, he's a homeless man, and he would get up there on stage, and he would sing, but again, he was singing with his heart. And I remember at the end of the service, they did Amazing Grace, and this man, he placed his hand over his heart as he's singing Amazing Grace, or doing the best he could to sing Amazing Grace. And you could just see that how much he loved his Savior. It was just incredible. I wish I'd got his name. Okay, keep going. This is Robert. I met Robert on Friday morning. We fed breakfast. They have a breakfast that they feed in a church there in town. And I met Robert. Robert, he was a funny guy. Robert was kind of one of these. He's homeless. You can tell that there's a little bit of mental illness with Robert, but he's pretty sharp. He can talk, carry on a conversation with you. And he told me Sunday was going to be his birthday. And he said, "Yeah, Jimmy always makes us go down there or every month, for people each month to have their birthday. I don't really want to go." He wanted to be down there. He wanted people to know it was his birthday. And when I saw him Sunday morning, first thing I went up to Robert and I said, "Happy birthday, Robert." And he was just beaming. He wanted everybody to know it was his birthday. Keep going, Alan. This is Dwayne. You like the headpiece there? Dwayne, I'm convinced Dwayne is a genius. This guy, as I'm talking with him, he was sharp as a tack, and he quoted authors learned man. And he began telling me, I've got a computer background, he has a computer background. He began going launching into all of this technical jargon that I was just like, man, this guy is a very intelligent man. And he you can see it in his hand there, perhaps. He had written little Bible lesson devotionals, and he was passing those out. He would take a piece of scripture and he would write some thoughts and some questions and all. and basically had developed his own little Bible studies and was passing those out to anybody that wanted those. And again, it was very, very cold. Go ahead and go to the next one there, Alan. This is Patrick. Patrick stole the show for me. Let me tell you about Patrick, the gentleman in the green jacket there. Jimmy Durrell, the director, the pastor there, was telling us about Patrick. And he said a few years ago, they're having church under the bridge, and this man walks up, and it was Patrick. And anybody ever seen the movie Radio? Patrick reminded me of Radio, only you could understand him even less than you could Radio in that movie. But I'm telling you, he went around, he worked that crowd. He went around hugging everybody there. And he showed up several years ago, and you can't really understand him very well at all. But after several attempts, Jimmy, the pastor, determined that he wanted to be on the praise team. And they threw some awkward conversation, was trying to, well, do you play anything? Do you sing? Do you do anything? He didn't do anything. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't play anything. He couldn't sing. But he wanted to be on that praise team. So he said the first Sunday they gave him these little bongo drums. And he said it was really pretty much a disaster, because he said there wasn't a beat on time the whole service. He said, well, the next week they decided they're going to give Patrick a guitar. But of course it's not plugged in. That's when y'all see me up here, that's what they do with me. They give me a guitar, but then you're sounding good, Jeff. Yeah. And I look and the cord's not plugged in. But anyway, he has a guitar. Now that particular Sunday you can see there it's a bass guitar. And with a bass guitar, I play a little bit of bass and a little bit of guitar. You kind of thump or pluck the bass. He was strumming it like a guitar, but he's working it all over. And then he also had this little acoustic guitar, and he'd swap them out. He'd go for a while with one, and he had the other one laying on the stage, and then he'd go over and he'd swap them out, and then he'd work the crowd a little bit with that other one. He's all over the place. And Patrick kept coming. He was going to everybody, but he kept coming to me. He probably came to me four, five, six times during the service and hugged my neck, and he kept trying to say something to me. I'll talk about that more in just a minute. But my question today, and this is actually the sermon of the title of my sermon today, is Patrick part of the kingdom? Is he part of the kingdom? You know, Jesus, came and said he was bringing in the kingdom. John the Baptist was pronouncing that the kingdom of hand the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was preparing the way for Jesus. And when Jesus came, he said, the kingdom's here. It's no longer something we're anticipating. The kingdom is here. So God's kingdom is here. And so the question is, is Patrick part of that kingdom? You know, it's so easy for us to, even though we don't mean to, and I place myself in this, it's so easy for us to build an order. It's like, well, I've got it going on more than Patrick, so I must be more important to God. I can think well, I can speak well, I can do things that Patrick can't do, so somehow I must be more important in the kingdom. I could not take my eyes off of Patrick. I could not take my eyes off of him. Just watching how he was greeting everyone and the joy that he had. And I'm telling you, folks, it was cold. In fact, Jimmy, the pastor, when we're getting ready to go over there the night before, he goes, it's supposed to be really cold tomorrow. He goes, I don't know if we'll have anybody show up. It was packed. It was packed. There was hundreds of people there. They all came, and they were all eager to worship the Lord. I want to show just a short little video here and let you get a flavor of Patrick.
Just to rest upon his cross. Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus, simply take it, life and rest and joy and peace.
Okay, Alan. One of the things, I shot a lot of video, because he was just everywhere, and there was a couple of youth groups there, and he was drawn to those youth, and there was one, and had these cute little girls in this youth group, and they were sitting in this one section, and he would go right in front of them, and he'd put his foot up on that chair right up in front of them, and he'd play, and they were right here in front. He'd just play, and while those cute little girls were watching him, and he'd go somewhere else for a while, and he'd come back, and he'd play for them some more. Is Patrick part of the kingdom? The question struck me, what would I personally do with Patrick if he wandered into our church some Sunday morning? Wanted to be on the praise team, wanted to dance around. And Patrick was loving the Lord best way he knew how. And I really think we do a good job of this, but there was not a person, and there were several hundred people there, there was not a person that was not greeted by Patrick at least once. How about us? He wanted everyone there. That was his church. And he loved Jesus. And he wanted everyone there to feel welcome and to come back. First thing I want us to talk about today is God's kingdom should look just like heaven. It should be Jesus, when the disciples asked him to teach us how to pray, he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We are supposed to model what we think heaven would be like. And so my question is, if Patrick's going to be in heaven, if Jesus loves Patrick and Jesus receives Patrick, how about us? Sometimes when you're around folks that are different than us, it's uncomfortable, isn't it? If we're being honest, isn't it? Aren't we a little uncomfortable when we get around folks that aren't quite like us? And Patrick, I couldn't understand a word he was saying, but I could see the smile and I could feel the hug. God's kingdom should be a snapshot of what we think heaven will be like. You know, that was the purpose. Jesus said, you know, what's in heaven? What's going on in heaven? I want it to be going on here in this kingdom, this kingdom of this world right now. I want it to be as if this was the same thing happening in heaven. Second thing, the poor and the marginalized are included. The poor and the marginalized are included. Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, he said it this way, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." For the poor, for those that are on the outskirts of our culture, Jesus is saying, that's the kingdom. You want to see the kingdom? That's the kingdom. These people belong. Listen to Luke chapter 14, a little more direct. Jesus said this way, "When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed." I believe with all my heart that, and I really think this is the heart of Wiley Methodist as well. I've seen it since I've been here. I think we do a good job at loving the marginalized. But Jesus said, you know, whether we do or whether you don't, Jesus said, that's what we're supposed to do. When you don't, you know, don't just invite the cool people. Is that maybe a little said a little bit differently? You know, I see it back when I used to work with youth, and I see it now with adults and myself included. I mean, it's like we have a tendency to hang around and to want to gravitate to those like us. And quite frankly, sometimes the cool kids, the cool people. But I tell you, Patrick was cool in his own Patrick way. He was really, really cool. So the third thing, if the poor and the marginalized are included, Patrick is included. So I told you I asked myself, what would I do with Patrick? So now I want to ask you to think about, what would you do with Patrick? If Patrick walked in today and you kind of got a little bit of a flavor of what Patrick does each Sunday. He's doing it right now, by the way. I guarantee you he's working the crowd right now. He's hugging people as we speak. This passage that we read today, Luke chapter 5, with the leper. Now, the lepers were the marginalized, the outcast of Jesus' day. They would actually have their own communities because the other communities would kick them out of really fear that they would contract the disease. And so they didn't know what to do with them, so they just set them out into this other, their own little community. And the one thing that, you know, that the lepers probably had not received in a long, long time was touch, was the physical touch. Now, it always interests me, it always really amazes me that, you know, Jesus, I don't recall any other times in Scripture where Jesus touched. He put the mud in the eyes of the blind man. But it seems as though Luke is making a very specific mention of the fact that he didn't just heal the leper, it says he touched the man. There was this, I believe Jesus knew that there was more going on than the physical with this man. This man needed physical touch of another person that was not afraid of him, that cared for him, that loved him. And so, we see in this passage, when Jesus saw the man, when the man saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him. Can you hear the desperation in his voice? "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing, be clean." So I'm just putting that in our day today. Who in our culture needs our touch? Who in our culture is God asking us to have friendship with, to have a relationship with? And finally, we are called to put love into action. This actually, the pastor, Jimmy Durrell, that started Mission Waco, and I'll probably be talking more about the different things that they do, but they do, it's an incredible ministry. It's an incredible ministry. They have rehabilitation homes. They have shelters. They have, they've actually have a cafe that they've created to, they're trying to revitalize that neighborhood. Again, it's about empowerment for them. They're not just trying to, you know, just pass out food and blankets and so forth. But beyond that, they're trying to bring life back into that neighborhood. And it is amazing some of the things that are going on. But he wrote a book and that I read leading up to the class. And one of the scriptures that he talked about in that book really struck me. And these are the words of God's words, not mine. So receive these from the Lord. If anyone, 1 John 3, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Wow, that rattled my cage when I read that. I've read the scripture many times, but when I put it into context, as I began to see these people, as I began to meet Robert and Dwayne and Patrick and others, when we see the need and when we pass on by, God is saying, if that's your response, how can the love of God be in you? That's pretty intense, church. That's, for me, that, as I said, that rattled my cage. You're going to be hearing today, I'm not going to be talking about a lot of practical things that we can do. I think if we don't have a heart for the poor, the marginalized, it doesn't really matter what we can do if we don't have a heart for them. And it's not, what's really interesting about this ministry is it's not, he didn't move into that neighborhood thinking, you know, here I am, a guy who's got his act together, who has some resources, and I'm gonna reach out to these lowly poor people. He came in among them. I mean, he came in as a peer. He came in on equal footing with them and began to just build relationship with them. So I'm gonna be talking more in the next few weeks about some specific things that I think the Lord's laying on my heart that we might be able to do as a church. But today, I believe it starts with us. It starts with our heart. Do we have a heart for hurting people? Or is it kind of like, as long as I got my stuff, if I'm good, it's all good. And is that our heart, or is it, no, we need to love on the behalf of Christ. I want to wrap up by saying this. At the end of that time, that day, Patrick had been coming. Like I said, I was mesmerized by Patrick, I admit. I don't even remember what the preacher preached on. And don't ever do that, by the way. I don't remember what he preached on, but I remember Patrick. And I was just mesmerized. And he kept, as he worked the crowd, he kept coming to me and he kept hugging me, and he would rattle off. I don't even know how to say, make myself sound like Patrick sound, but I couldn't understand a word he was saying, and he just kept saying something to me every time he'd come around and hug me. And I think the Lord was waiting to reveal it to me. The very last time he came around, I finally understood him. He hugged me, and he said, "Do you need anything?" He was asking if I needed anything each time he came around. He wanted me to be blessed, and he was going to do his best to try to meet my needs. Do you need anything? And I wish I could say it the way Patrick did. That's the heart of Jesus, friends. Do we have that heart? Are we seeking that heart? If you bow your heads with me. Father, I thank you for the heart of Jesus, that you've transferred that heart into Patrick. We ask for that same heart to be in us. Father, we thank you that there's room in the kingdom for us and Patrick. Father, you tell us that the greatest commands are to love you, to love our neighbor as ourself. Give us a heart for our neighbor. Father, we confess to you that we are really a self-centered people. We are a self-centered culture. And we ask your forgiveness and your mercy on us for that. Teach us how, God. Once we have that heart, God, teach us how. Teach us how to love. Teach us how to empower those to be all that you've created them to be. And Father, may we be a church and may we be a people that receives the Patricks of this world. We cry out to you, Lord. Have mercy on us. Just as you touch the leper, touch us. We pray it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. We stand as we close. If you want to come, the altars are open. If you want to pray, if you want me to pray with you, if you want to talk about our church or accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'll be around also after church. God bless you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but
there room in the kingdom for Patrick? There's room in the kingdom for you as well. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
When we've been